Morning, I'm Michelle, and we're going to read the Bible together. We've been reading through John, and unsurprisingly, we're just up to the part just before Easter, where Jesus is arrested. We're in John 14, and we're starting at verse 15. This is carrying on from last week. Jesus is speaking with his disciples. So we're starting at John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will also be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Michelle. Well, we're in an exciting part of the story of Jesus in the lead up to Easter. We're in John 14 and we're right in the middle of a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. It's been a very intense dinner. Halfway through the meal, Jesus has got up and washed the disciples' feet, an act of humble service, but it totally freaks them out and is very disruptive. And then he returns to the table and calmly announces that one of the disciples will betray him and that Peter, the all-in disciple, will also deny him. The hour has come. They will get up from this dinner now and leave. Jesus has predicted his death. He's facing betrayal and desertion and suffering. Yet, as always, his focus is not on himself, but on the disciples. And his job is to comfort them, to reassure them, and equip them for his departure. First, in facing his death, and then after his resurrection as he ascends to the Father. And he's setting them up for God's next plan of salvation, plan for salvation. For it's the people who are sitting around the table with him that will soon scatter in fear, but then also become the ones who declare the gospel to the ends of the earth. But for now, they're confused and they're anxious. And Jesus' opening words in chapter 14 are, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." So how's your heart going this morning? Is it troubled? I feel like there's just a lot to be troubled about right now. We have war in the Middle East, fears of escalating conflict, rising cost of living, financial pressures, petrol shortages, not to mention paying $2.50 a litre for petrol. And beneath those global concerns and troubles, there are personal everyday burdens. Work stress, caring for kids or for parents, relational difficulties, sickness, ill health, insomnia, anxiety, depression, just even the pressures of getting through a busy week and making it to Easter holidays. And perhaps then there's those quieter spiritual troubles, feeling distant from God, struggling to make time to pray, doubts in faith, and that gap between wanting to experience God more deeply and the reality of our busy lives. So I don't know how you're going, but my heart feels troubled. And Jesus speaks into that today, as he did to that dinner party to his disciples all those years ago. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus offers peace, not the fragile peace that the world gives, but his own life-giving presence. He promises us the Holy Spirit, God himself dwelling with his people. And so today in John 14, we're going to reflect on just three things: that God is with us, that the Spirit is our advocate, and the Spirit is the one who speaks truth. So firstly, God with us. Jesus comforts the disciples, those guys sitting around the table, by promising the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." It's an incredible promise. It's actually the promise of God throughout the scriptures, that he will dwell with his people. In the Old Testament, there's lots of expressions of that. God is present with his people in the tabernacle and then in the temple. And we see his Spirit poured out on kings like Saul and David. And he pours out his Spirit on the prophets as they speak the words of God. And throughout the Old Testament, we see God's Spirit placed on significant people in order for them to do specific, amazing tasks. But God promises that there is a new age coming, a new dimension of relationship with his people, where he will pour out his Spirit on everyone. Ezekiel 36, way back in the Old Testament, says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." A new age, a new time coming when God will dwell with his people by his Spirit. And then Jesus arrives, his ministry begins, and the Spirit descends from the heavens on him like a dove, marking him as God's Messiah. Jesus is the Spirit-filled man, and the Spirit enables and defines and shapes his ministry. And now on the eve of his death, Jesus promises that that long-awaited moment in God's plan is about to be poured out on the disciples and on all people who call on Jesus' name. God himself, the Spirit of Jesus, will dwell in them. The time has come for God's people to fully know and experience God with them. And it's an incredible gift. I've been blown away by this week. If you are a believer, then the Spirit of the living God lives in you. The same Spirit that was at work in King David, in the prophet Isaiah, the same Spirit that lived and enabled in Jesus' ministry now is at work in you. And as we face those troubles in our lives, the God who loves us and cares for us is with us. We are never alone. He upholds us and enables us. And he sends the Spirit, our advocate. Now Jesus says, he will give you another advocate, another helper, someone who will continue Jesus' ministry. Because the Spirit comes alongside the disciples and ultimately us to strengthen and uphold, to defend and encourage us as we live by faith. And he's another advocate because he continues to do what Jesus did. He continues to do what Jesus has done amongst the disciples. He walks alongside them as a helper, as a revealer, as a witness, and as an interpreter. And the word advocate means something like someone who accompanies you to court, who sits beside you, who encourages you, who speaks on your behalf. In the midst of life, we have one who is an ally, a supporter. I wonder if you've heard of this woman. Her name is Joyce Hamer. She's a Salvation Army officer. And Joyce and her husband, Hilton, were court chaplains in Sydney Downing Street Centre and in the Magistrates Court. She received an Order of Australia for her ministry in supporting people in court, including some of Australia's most notorious criminals. The ABC describes her like this. Joyce was a much-loved and respected figure around the courts, a small woman with grey hair who could appear just when something was going badly or when a person needed a strong arm to lean on. Basically, when a verdict was handed down, she was the person who stood between the convicted and their collapse. Joyce was an advocate. And that is what the Spirit does. He walks alongside, he holds up, and he brings comfort in difficult times. He is there 24 hours a day, the presence of God in our life. And the Spirit continues that ministry of Jesus, not as a substitute or a replacement, but by bringing Jesus to us. And the Spirit's poured out on all people. If we trust in Jesus, then we are Spirit-filled and we are united to Christ by the Spirit's dwelling in us. Now, during his earthly ministry, Jesus was limited by physical location. He could only be in one place at one time. But through the Spirit, the risen Jesus is present with believers everywhere. Jesus says, "On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Now, I often imagine what it would be like to walk with Jesus. I love reading the gospel stories and imagining myself into those stories. What would it have been like to hear him teach, to see him heal, to work miracles? And I do that especially when I find it hard to trust him or when God feels distant. I think, if only I had been there. But the incredible truth of this passage is that we live in the very best of times in salvation history. The disciples may have touched Jesus and ate with him, but we have the Spirit of Jesus dwelling in us. And Jesus goes on in verse 17 to 18. "But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus is forever present for us, comforting, guiding, rebuking, and transforming us through his Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to have relationship with God, that unites us with the Godhead, with Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Spirit creates a real connection between us and Jesus. It is the Spirit who brings life in Christ to us and who restores us into relationship with the Father. John Calvin, one of the great reformers, wrote, As long as Christ remains outside of us, all he has done for the human race remains useless and of no value to us. Therefore, to share with us what he has received from the Father, he had to become ours and dwell within us. It is the Spirit that brings all the benefits of Christ to us. And the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the one who teaches us. And Jesus continues, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. One of the things that I find comforting about the Gospels is how often the disciples misunderstand Jesus. They seem to kind of bumble along. They often miss the point. They focus on the wrong thing. And I think I find that reassuring because I might do the same thing. And when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, as Joy reminded us in the prayers, today's Palm Sunday, the moment that we remember where Jesus rides into Jerusalem, and that happens just in chapter 13, just a little bit earlier, the disciples are full of excitement. They're over the moon. Finally, Jesus is getting to the real thing. The king is riding into Jerusalem in victory. And then he shows up on a donkey. And the disciples trip over. They don't know what to do. John tells us, at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things that had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. See, Jesus promises that when the Spirit comes, the penny will drop. All the things they know about Jesus will come together. The Spirit helps the disciples to truly understand who Jesus is and what he's done. And that transforms them as they proclaim Jesus to the ends of the earth. And it also gives us confidence because the New Testament was written by the apostles, some of them sitting around this table on the Last Supper. And the apostles are illuminated by the Spirit. The scriptures tell us that they are carried along by the Holy Spirit as they write. It says in 2 Peter 1, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And as a believer, we are people who are taught Christ by the Spirit. He opened our eyes. The Spirit helps us to see Jesus and to trust him in him. And when we came to Christ, he brought us from darkness into light. One of the great things I love doing about being on Monday Explore courses is we get to see people do this, to have this happen to them all the time. You sit around on tables and you discuss who Jesus is or might be. You watch videos, you read the Gospels, you talk and you ask questions. And sometimes, some evenings, it just feels like you go round and round and round in circles. And sometimes you get to see the penny drop. Someone says, oh, that's why Jesus had to die for us. Oh, that's what prayer is all about. Oh, I get it now. They're amazing moments. And that is the work of the Spirit. It's amazing to watch, but it also gives us confidence in evangelism because it's not dependent on our clever, sharp answers or our compelling presentation of the gospel, but instead it's dependent on the Spirit's work to reveal the Lord Jesus, to bring understanding and transformation. And the Spirit does that in us as well. He helps us to grow and understand Jesus better. The Spirit works to warm our hearts and help us to see Jesus more clearly and to grow in our love for him. The Spirit teaches and illuminates and reveals Jesus to us. And it's not about how clever you are or how many books you've read. All you know about God comes to you because the Spirit reveals it. the truth about Jesus that you know, the things you love about him and remember about him are taught to you by the Spirit. And Jesus ends with these words. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now that is a promise. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Peace I give you. And that's what the Spirit brings us, truth and peace. How can it be though? Is it just a kind of pipe dream from Jesus? The world seems pretty messed up, pretty unpeaceful. And that's true for us in our own lives too. There's difficult and stressful things, and we often feel scared and afraid. So what's Jesus offering us here? Well, the peace that God offers is firstly peace with himself. We are restored into relationship with our kind Heavenly Father. We are no longer at war with God. Instead, we are his much loved children. And Jesus doesn't promise that we will live a bliss-filled life full of rainbows and unicorns. Instead, he promises that he will be with us. And he does it with the disciples. They're about to head out into perhaps the worst weekend of their life. And Jesus says he will be with them, that he will give them peace. And then he enables them as apostles and sends them out across the world where they face death and persecution. But they never do it alone. And Jesus promises that he will never leave us alone. He will walk alongside us and uphold us and protect us and comfort us through his Spirit. The peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but his presence with us in the midst of those troubles. And I see this in you, in my brothers and sisters, each and every day, in the challenges that you face and the troubles you carry, in bad health results, in loss and grief, in crushing depression. And yet in the very midst of that, you are confident of God's goodness and his presence in the midst of sufferings. And I see you do it with peace, with assurance of faith, and bearing testimony to God's love and kindness and mercy. Jesus promises peace, and he ensures that we can know that peace by the sending of his Spirit into our hearts and lives. And we face our troubles not on our own, but with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And we know that Jesus' promises are good and true, because he gets up from this dinner party, from the Last Supper, he's arrested, he goes to the cross, and he dies for the people that he loved. And he rose victorious, ascended to the Father, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people, men and women, young and old. And through his Spirit, God dwells with us. Jesus is present for each and every moment, not distant but near. And the Spirit comforts, teaches, guides and strengthens and brings Christ to you. And so as Jesus says to us today, as he did that night long ago, do not let your hearts be troubled. My peace I give you. Amen. Let me pray. Kind Heavenly Father, you see our troubled hearts and you know our fears, our worries and the burdens we carry. Thank you that Jesus speaks peace to us and does not leave us alone. And thank you that through your Spirit you dwell with us. Holy Spirit, be our advocate and comforter. Remind us that Christ is near, that we belong to him. When fear rises, give us your peace. When faith feels weak, draw us closer. Teach us to trust you and rest in your presence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.